Why do we do the things we do? Why do we fight? Why do we sin? And yet the answer, the real answer, is always so simple. Because it feels good. Because it feels good. Do you know what else feels good?
What?
Ruffling some feathers and watching Bad Chicken on B-Movie!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to B-Movie Mania. I'm your host, Jason Hulls, and with me in the hen house tonight are the usual bad mother cluckers, crazy Chris Hudson.
Hey, you guys ever check the sound just to make sure we're really recording?
Nope. Paul Brooks.
Yep, yep, yep.
Michael Hayes.
Caca, fuck you. That's not a quote from the movie. They didn't even come up with that one.
That's just you being rude.
It's just me being a real sourpuss.
Well, the movie we watched was 2013's Bad Chicken. You can watch it on Tubi. You should watch it on Tubi. It was written and directed by Carter Mays.
Rip.
Who Mike and I think, figured out. And you, Paul and Chris, you may have seen this too. He's done some stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's his background?
A lot of reality TV.
Yes. Reality TV.
Yeah.
Which I think informs the plot of this movie. Don't you think?
Incredibly so.
So is this a confessional then?
I think it's...
This whole podcast is...
Well, okay, so his name is credited on this as Carter Mays, but he has another credit. I guess this is technically speculation, but there's pieces have been falling together with research that Carter T. Mays is also the same person. And so they changed their entire SAG name or whatever. I don't know if there's SAG involved with these new movies like Bad Chicken, but...
So Mike, you're telling me Carter Mays directed Bad Chicken, but Carter T. Mays did like reality TV in kind of a Clark Kent sort of disguise?
Well, no, he did it before, and then those credits stop in 2011, and then in 2013 this movie gets made. It's a lot of real, all reality TV is shitty, but this is like Breaking Bonaduce, the Two Corys thing,
wow.
He produced that. Bunch of fucking just, it's all exploitative horseshit, but... Yeah, there's some rough ones there.
So it wasn't so much of a confessional as it was a roadmap.
I think it's him being pissed off that he got into this line of work and wanted to make something that is how he feels about it and how shitty and shady the industry is.
I get that. So it was a confessional.
Yeah. Yeah. When we talk about the plot, it centers a lot around reality television, and it does not give a good impression of that process or product at all. And we should point out, tragically, Carter Mays passed away in 2018.
Anybody know what happened?
I tried to look into it, but I did not find any details. I know he was 51.
Hmm. Too bad.
Yeah, very too bad because, he did a couple films. Another one's called Inside Scarlet with a lot of the same people from Bad Chicken. And I'm very curious about that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Mike, or anyone, does anybody have the IMDb synopsis up so we can tell the people what Bad Chicken is kind of about? Because we've only alluded to it.
You kind of just said it.
Chris, well, hit us with it anyway.
All right. So the IMDb credit says that Jay just edit in an eagle screech here. You know the one.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
That's all. Yeah. That's it.
Oh, that's it. That's just my bit. It just says Jay edited an eagle. Yeah.
All Nora ever wanted was to be a reality TV star, but her dream come true quickly turns into a nightmare when she allows a motley television crew of chickens, led by a sociopath Charlie Chicken, to invade her home, manipulate her emotions, and drag her and her soon-to-be ex-boyfriend into the desert in what is supposed to be a glamorous reality TV shoot. Deep in the surreal landscapes of the Joshua Tree Desert, it becomes a battle of species. The hilarious antics of the oddball chicken crew, the blind faith of a reality TV star wannabe, and the cruel perversions of one really, quote, bad chicken, all spiral downward into an extremely unique spaghetti western.
Ah!
Huh. Spaghetti western,
really?
Huh?
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
That explains the music.
Jay, I'll tell you why you didn't think of that. It's not a spaghetti western in any capacity.
Yeah,
Bach!
Paul, you're coming in pretty hot. You just finished the movie, right?
Yeah, literally, I just finished the movie.
All right. Why don't you hit us with your quick take?
Quick takes!
This movie really made me miss Joshua Tree. I'd like to jetpack over there pretty soon.
Mike.
Sometimes you can overcook a chicken and it comes out a bit dry.
Oh. Chris.
True.
The title is very accurate.
Jay, how about you, baby?
Well, it's the best film with the name Kardashian in it that I've ever seen.
Oh, well, that's not saying much, is it?
Well, it's true. We're going to get into the plot here, and Chris, I was hoping you could do the eagle, that mimic that eagle screech for us that starts out the movie.
Damn it.
Wow, that's exactly, yeah.
That, gave it his all.
I gave hear it him all. Side by side
I'm
here,
a little,
and I know
my voice is a little scratchy tonight, as always. let me have some Laphroaig and try
Oh,
again.
That'll help, yeah.
Ooh. That's
okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go with chicken. So we start out, this movie is not linear. It jumps all
it's
over
like
the
Pulp
place.
It's like Pulp Fiction with chicken puppets.
Pulp chicken.
Pulp chicken.
Yeah. Starts out in the desert where we have our reality show couple, Nora and Isaac, and they seem to be hunted by a chicken. What can somebody just like describe the chicken? What is hunting them in the Joshua Tree Desert?
Describe what the chicken looks like.
Yeah. I mean, is it a big CGI monster chicken?
No, it's kind of like prototype Crank Yankers chicken. There's a little bit of Muppet in there, I guess. They're small.
Yeah.
They come up to your waist, maybe? Was that about how they kind of were presented?
Yeah, they're your typical sort of felt puppets. Somebody's got a hand up their ass, and you know, they look fine.
Yeah, they're sort of like cute yellow cartoony puppets.
I believe we even see the hand at some point too, right?
Right.
They look very similar. Like you kind of can tell the main one from the other two, but the other two are next to indistinguishable.
Yeah, there are some slight differences.
A little bit. Yeah, I would not have minded the puppets, especially, they're Charlie is the main one, is the titular bad chicken, and his crew is Caesar and Carl.
Like, you could have given Carl a mustache or something, maybe to differentiate.
Yeah, something like that would have been
all
nice.
Of their names even start with C.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wondering about, like, chicken Caesar salad.
Uh-huh.
Or
yeah.
Chicken Carl salad.
And Carl and Caesar are the film crew. Carl does sound. Caesar's the director of photography, supposedly, in this plot.
Real guerrilla style crew.
Yeah, it is. But it's more chicken style.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, what are they doing out in the desert in the first place?
Great question.
Look, at the beginning of the movie, they're being hunted and there's like blood and everything. But the reason they're out there is to shoot a reality TV show with the premise of this being to dump the ashes of her dead cat Kardashian into Joshua Tree's winds or something is like what the event of the episode or something is supposed to be.
Kardashian, can you hear me?
Mike, you're not wrong, but the problem here is that I assume dumping cat ashes takes 15 seconds. So why they are out there for an extra 5 days, I couldn't tell you.
Well, Nora just couldn't bring herself to do it when they were out there. So
it's really emotional. And Charlie said he wanted to get the perfect shot
in the backcountry. Mm-hmm. You know, like he doesn't want to just, because didn't Nora say she just wanted to do it like by a cactus?
You don't want to perform the ash spreading ceremony next to a parking lot, do you?
Couldn't we just do it over there by that cactus?
Charlie insisted that they hike a few miles back into the desert because, you know, he has some ulterior motives going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Another storyline that we get that ties the room together is an interrogation. I thought it was with a police officer, but I guess it's more of just an interview with a doctor, right?
Yeah.
Was it?
I thought the same. Yeah.
You thought it was a cop?
Yeah. I totally thought it was a cop.
Why,
at first,
why would a doctor be interviewing him?
That's a great question, Paul. Let's move on.
That is a great question, Paul. I don't think it's actually all that clear.
No.
But there could have been a police officer. It doesn't matter, but he is referred to as a doctor.
It's like a classic interrogation scene, dimly lit, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I went to a doctor and they saw me in a dark black walled room with dim lighting, not sure I would repeat the visit.
Right. And this is provides the narration that goes throughout the movie. So Charlie the Chicken is giving his story, and the doctor is asking him a bunch of questions.
Uh-huh.
Doing all right there, Paul?
In case it's not clear by now, I'm not gonna have a ton of positive. I'm gonna try my best here, but I don't have a ton of positive. I don't know why you thought I'd like this, Jay.
Oh, wow. Hey, you know, it's okay to be all over the place.
Did you guys notice that in the first phone call when Nora calls the chickens back, there's a couple bongs on the table, they're eating, they're smoking, there's fucking fried chicken on their plates.
Cannibalism.
Is there really?
Cannibalism. That alone tells me that these chickens they're bad.
Again.
Just like it says in the title.
If Carter had been involved in Crank Yankers in some capacity, I wouldn't be surprised, but because it's very... It's that style of humor, you know, it's very seventh grade, I guess, is the term I want to use.
I don't know if there's, I didn't really take it that there was all that much humor in the movie, really. I don't see it as a comedy.
There was
much.
A dildo lightsaber fight.
Yeah. Jay, there was a dildo lightsaber fight.
You thought the panty sniffing scene was a dramatic.
Well, of course there's comedy. I mean, the comedy, though, is the fact that they're chickens.
Right.
And that nobody says anything about it.
That's it. Here's chickens.
I love the expression on Paul's face right now. It says it all.
Paul, you're a hard one to read sometimes because I could also see you showing up to this thinking this is amazing.
Not so much.
Okay. Well, we'll try to get through this in a very short amount of time for you so I don't have a long edit anyway. Caesar and Carl and Charlie, they come to the house for the first time, right? They kind of get Nora with a email phishing scam kind of thing, where she responds and they show up. And I think somebody alluded to the panty sniffing, because that's one of the things that happens right off the bat.
Well, this is, again, it's a piece of commentary on what people will do for fame and sort of how they're blinded by fame. And I mean, because Nora, there's so many red flags throughout this entire process that Nora and what's her boyfriend's name?
Isaac.
Both of them obviously should have seen that this was not a good situation that they were getting themselves into. And they just don't see it at all because they're laser focused on the potential fame that they could get out of this entire situation.
Yes and no. I mean, Nora for sure.
Yes.
Isaac, though, I think questions everything.
Okay, yeah.
And that's part of the rift that ends up between them.
Yeah. And one thing that gets me, though, I mean, Isaac does go along with it, and he's kind of disgusted, and there's with some certain behaviors, but does he really care like that much, though? Because, I mean, he's banging some other chick on the side. We see that later. Not
that?
To skip ahead. But he's still out there.
Oh, that does come out.
He doesn't really do anything to stop this. He doesn't walk away. There's no reason for him to really be there at this point once the red flags start happening.
No one's good in this movie. Everyone is terrible.
Yes.
Even the person who you think has some sort of logic in their brain, you then find out that they're a fucking cheating garbage man.
You're referring to Isaac?
Yeah. Everyone sucks.
Yeah. Yep. That is one issue. That everybody does have some serious character flaws.
Like, it sucks that they had to do that, too. Because why not have one person? Why does it have to be some commentary that, well, look, even the good guy blows. Like, can't we have something? Can't we have someone?
That's what Hollywood does to you.
Well, maybe Charlie is like a 90s-style anti-hero.
Explain that one.
Just a theory.
The closest thing you get is Caesar and Carl, probably. But they're still
he's like
pretty bad.
If Vic Mackey from The Shield made TV shows or something.
We know you've been watching The Shield, Mike.
Oh, it's so good.
Nice name drop.
Thanks.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, Isaac kind of questions it, but he also, Nora signs their contract immediately. She is all in on everything that Charlie is trying to sell her and has total blinders on, which, again, like you said, is, I guess, kind of what this is about, the price of fame and what people will do for it, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I mean, obviously, Charlie's trying to manipulate her, right?
Well, they tried to, I mean, it really gets into how so much of reality TV is manufactured. And there's even a line later on about that Charlie's like, this couple's boring as shit. So he manufactures some drama.
It'd be easy just to call this couple boring as shit. But this is like a black hole. What this show needs? Some tragedy. Hardcore tragedy.
Which then leads to more drama and more drama. And ultimately, murder.
But it's important to point out that they're not hiding this really from remember
Isaac.
Their name. Isaac and who?
Nora.
Like, they both understand that, you know, they're kind of faking it. I mean, they have a conversation about, you know, a lot of people fake it. Just do what you got to do. They do different takes and stuff like that. So the couple is in on it the entire time. Again, they're doing this for the wrong reasons. They're trying to just, you know, see what they can get out of it in terms of it boosting their career, I guess. Specifically Nora.
Right. And I mean, at least that's how it's presented. But there's even yet another level of terribleness underneath all of this that Charlie's really trying to pull.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and they more or less just bug the hell out of Isaac the whole time. They stick a camera in his face when he's trying to pee.
Do you guys need to shoot that? I'm taking a piss.
Charlie is manipulating them, whispering things to him.
Can I just say really, real quick, there's one huge red flag that they are filming on Super VHS. Like, that's a dead giveaway right there. That this is just garbage. This is not a professional production. This is a chicken.
Nobody ever changes out the tape.
That's right. This is just a chicken that wants to bang a hot chick.
I will say the in terms of the actual, like, the way the movie looks, it's shot fairly well. The colors are nice. The colors in the desert and, like, the sky and everything pops pretty well. It doesn't, I mean, we have watched stuff, you know, that is, like, way worse than this in terms of the way the movie looks. You know, this is no fungicide or anything.
So it wasn't shot on Super VHS.
It was not.
No. Yeah, it looks good.
No.
Yeah, it does.
It looks okay. Some of the framing leaves something to be desired.
Well, the framing, dude, the chickens are hand puppets. What do you want them to do?
The whole thing was just sometimes a little claustrophobic for me.
Yeah. I see.
Lending to the horror aspects of the movie.
I suppose so.
You know, it's hard to make someone feel claustrophobic in such a wide open area as Joshua Tree that it's really profound and amazing that the filmmaker was able to create this feeling.
Okay.
And that leads us to the first Paul's Joshua Tree Confessions.
It does not.
Damn
it doesn't. I have nothing. I'm confessing everything throughout the entire episode.
Well, we got to talk about how Charlie's dad used to use him to sneak bags of coke across the border.
Every year for Christmas, we'd take a vacation to Mexico. And all I remember is that I'd get a stomachache.
he's not mad at his dad when he finds out that that's the case. He's mad at his dad because he didn't cut him in on the money. That's how rude this chicken is.
Yeah.
He's a very bad chicken.
Great.
Back in the interrogation, the doctor is talking to Charlie, and he is describing how people like to squirm, and that he likes to watch people squirm, and that they will sell their soul to get on TV.
I like it when they squirm and freak out over their petty obsessions. Serves them right.
So you feel like they deserved it?
Well, you wouldn't believe what people will do to get on TV. They'll sell their soul, man. They'll sell their soul.
And then we have the big scene.
The one where Nora likes to cook and brings out a frozen pizza?
That's the big scene.
I was referring to the spreading of Kardashian's ashes, but...
Oh, was that not the big scene?
No. Well, it could be.
She does it. She puts her arm up and doesn't. And then he's like, all right, act sadder. So then she does it more sad, but still can't do it.
So the chickens killed the cat.
Here's the deal. They are out in the middle of the desert. God knows why. The whole thing is manipulation, right? The chickens are trying to manipulate Nora. They're trying to manipulate Ivan, whatever his name is.
Ivan.
And both of these humans, I mean, it's the first line of the movie. Humans are stupid, right?
Humans are stupid.
And these people are so stupid that they're falling for everything. They're being... a wedge is being driven into their relationship, which, as far as we know, has been perfectly fine up to this point. But the chickens are, specifically Charlie Chicken, is sowing all these little manipulative, you know, little angles to get Nora to not trust Ian?
Isaac.
Ivan?
Isaac.
And so basically what ends up happening is Nora doesn't trust him anymore, and she sort of like falls into Charlie's weird, creepy chicken cult.
I love it.
I don't know if we've ever disagreed more about a movie. I know that, like, probably me and Mike have or something, but, you know... This is bad. This was really boring.
Dude. I love the absurdity of it. It's so absurd. And it's not what you expect at all.
I got my remote and I'm like, how much left on this? And I was 34 minutes into it. I'm like, no.
No way. Oh, I totally disagree.
Hey,
totally.
Jay, can you play a clip of Charlie singing in his Johnny Cash-esque voice?
Well, my life is like a movie as I move from town to town. If you mess with me, I'll make a scene and burn your romance to the ground. If they take me away someday, I'll go screaming and kicking. But until that day, you better watch your step, because I'm a bad chicken.
He's a bad chicken. A bad chicken.
Yeah, there are, to bring it back to the, this is supposed to be a comedy, there are parody songs throughout the movie too.
Yeah, and during the parody song, when he's describing his bad life, you do see a montage of all the bad things and depraved things that the chickens, specifically Charlie, have done with prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
He gets prostitutes that they actually, well, women, actresses, that they actually convince to... lay in bed with the chicken puppet.
Yeah.
And perform with the chicken puppet.
I think that this film was also sort of like halfway a vehicle for these guys' music. Because I noticed in the credits that Carter did like the lyrics to most of the songs in this movie. And then I think the guy who did the voice of Charlie, I can't remember his name, but he did a lot of the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
but I can't see how they would make a film just to get their music over, especially when the music is specifically about chickens.
Well, they padded the hell out of this thing with music that went on for way too long. So that is why
God.
That.
Chickens.
This is killing me.
Chickens are an obsession with this guy. The second movie, the Scarlet movie, is
Inside
about
Scarlet?
A chicken as well.
Oh, is it?
No. Is it really? Wow.
Yeah. Did you guys not read the synopsis? The synopsis sounds interesting, actually.
I didn't dig that deep.
No, and then there was supposed to be another one that was supposed to come out in a quote-unquote chicken trilogy, but there was something that's
credited, but I don't know if it ever got finished.
There's a short. It says it's a short, yeah. So it may be part of it. Maybe it didn't get done. Who knows? You know what? But there was supposed to be a chicken trilogy, and
yes.
Well, meow.
Why do you say that, Chris?
Well, because we get a little more chicken music, Chicken 101. Chicken Rock Radio.
You're listening to Chicken Rock Radio. Chicken 101.
Yeah, turn that shit up, man.
And Nora starts getting into the chicken rock. She starts dancing, and she's pretty close to a striptease when Isaac pulls her away for a little couples one-on-one talk.
Mmm. And they are all doing Jaeger shots, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's motivated.
She's trashed.
You're acting like a stripper prostitute.
Fuck you.
The thing about that little party scene with the Jaeger shots in the desert too that I found kind of funny that Paul will probably hate is that you could see the knees of the puppeteers like plainly in the shot.
I didn't notice
like
that.
While the chickens are talking.
Well, there's another shot later. You can see the hand or the arm. I don't think they.
And I don't know.
And you see the strings
I
all the time from like the for the or the rod for the hands. You see that constantly. So
yeah,
they're not
constantly.
That's the other thing. They're not hiding the fact they're puppets. They're not even. It's like a Muppet movie. No one, you know.
So Mike doesn't Charlie jerk off to completion?
Yeah, I was about to ask, what do chickens call that?
Let the creep talk about it.
So we get a flashback. I assume I'm the creep.
Yeah.
So we get a flashback, you know, because this is all nonlinear in nature, of Charlie calling Nora, and she's in bed with Isaac, and Isaac asks who it is, and she says, oh, it's my mom. So right there, Nora's already lying before they even get out to the desert. And Charlie gives her some sweet talk and blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, they hang up, but you see Charlie in bed. He's like, Nora is mine, or some shit.
You're all mine, Nora.
And then you see him choking the human, and he really, I mean, clearly to completion. I mean, it's not graphic. Like, there's no nudity in this at all. Not even
plus
chicken.
Plus, the chickens only have a half of a body in real life.
But he clearly finishes.
You know, this kind of brings me to a point here in the episode where we bring in a new segment called Suspension of Dick's Belief.
What?
You see, throughout this movie, these chicken puppets do have sex with women, and they masturbate. Here's the thing. Chickens do have penises. But they are very small, and that is not how they do any sort of sex. They have cloacas. Both genders have cloacas, everyone. And so according to National Geographic...
That is a horrible word.
I know. Well, wait till you hear some other stuff I read on National Geographic.
Uh-huh.
There
emphasis
are very,
on the graphic?
Only about 3% of birds still have penises.
Can we go back
chickens,
to the bit of Paul's Joshua
male
Tree?
Male chickens... fertilize a female's egg by sending sperm into her body, but without any penetration. Instead, male and female chickens must mush their genital openings together.
Jesus Christ.
As he transfers sperm into her in a maneuver called the cloacal kiss. I'm reading from NationalGeographic.com right now. Just so you know, that cloacal kiss is something that biologists say. Suspension of Dick's Belief.
I'm picturing some sort of like Nicolas Cage like kiss sound.
I think all of Nicolas Cage's kisses are cloacal kisses.
I can't wait till I find another reason to do Suspension of Dick's Belief.
Mike, I got you right here.
What do we got?
So everyone has bedded down in their tents, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Nora comes into Charlie's tent while he's placing bets, sports bets, right? Mm-hmm. And she describes a fight that her and Isaac had, and Charlie reveals that they can just cut him out of the show.
Yep, he's gone.
And So while this is happening, Chris, if you could just quickly, what are Caesar and Carl doing?
They're jerking off.
Right. And smoking weed. And smoking weed, talking about terrible things they've done.
So that's that's the second chicken masturbation scene.
Another home run, man. Sometimes I make love to my bong like that.
Wanted to make that clear, in case one wasn't enough for you viewers. There's a second one.
Yeah.
Well, they're not jerking off just yet, right?
Just yet. Yeah, it takes, I mean, not until.
Well, right.
Yeah.
It's more of the weed and the talking.
Yeah. Could I say it?
Yes.
You can say it.
Charlie and Nora fuck.
Yes.
In the tent. When that happens, they, the tent over, can hear it happening. So they just set that bong aside and just rub that chicken clit of theirs and just quickly kiss themselves.
Can I talk about this too? I want to talk about one thing while Charlie and Nora are banging. Like, Charlie's going at it. Nora's super into it. But right next to her head on the pillow is a fucking potato chip bag.
Yes.
And it crinkles with every thrust.
Best part of the movie.
And
best
there are a lot of thrusts.
Absolutely the cleverest part of the movie.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. It's just so loud and so distracting.
It's such a clever way to illustrate just how gross and dirty Charlie is and how Nora has really dipped deep into this cloacal shitbang going on here.
I'm going to spit up my whiskey. Yeah, I mean, it's think about having sex with a chip bag next to your head, and it's great.
Oh, you're telling me, Hudson, you've never been so fucking in the moment getting your bang on that you haven't just been like, whatever, that's fine.
No, I'm saying, I'm cool with it.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's great. I loved it.
It's fine.
But you're like eating some Fritos, and it's like, well, shit, I guess this is happening.
The cloacal smashing.
Ooh, Paul's Joshua Tree confessions.
I came home one time to find Mike in my bed with popcorn everywhere, just humping my bed, drunk as he could possibly be.
So you've come the closest to this, is what it sounds like.
And
Paul, are you telling me you've never been so into me getting my bang on with your bed that you haven't been okay with some chip bag ruffling?
Well, I was so into it that I recorded it, and you better hope that I don't find the video or I'm putting it on the website.
Hey, Paul, you gotta tell me you have this. It's gotta be a YouTube exclusive.
I have it somewhere. I'll find it.
Oh, God.
Much to, I'm sure, Paul's dismay, this scene goes on for a long time.
It is a long
Every
scene.
Every scene chicken goes on for a long time.
And Isaac.
The chicken railing just happens over and over and over
again. And Isaac even hears it and doesn't really give a shit.
No, he cares.
I mean, well, you think he's going to interrupt stuff, but
He's over
it,
man. He's on his way out already. Yeah. We find out later he's been cheating on her anyway, so I don't think he really... He sees the silhouette of the puppet, which probably was a fun scene to film.
That was fun.
The silhouette of the puppet up on top, because he's riding chicken style on top, or chicken, cow chicken on top of of her. And so we see that, and so, yeah, then he just kind of like... That's when he just... He's done.
Mike, did you have another bit that you wanted to do?
No. Wait,
thought you had another chicken.
Yes, because he comes. He fucking comes. Remember that when he finishes during this sex scene? It is disturbing, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now,
because the whole scene builds in intensity.
Now we have a little trivia question here for you guys. Suspension of disbelief. What animal do you think has the longest orgasm? Because his was long, speaking to Paul about things that go on too long. His went on for much too long.
What animal?
An animal. What animal do you think, and humans count as animals, but what animal do you think has the longest orgasm?
The sperm whale.
Possum.
I'll say hyena.
Okay. All right. These are all great. Oh, hyena would be an interesting cum show, right? but... The longest orgasm, I guess this is in mammals, but you all guessed mammals anyway, is the domestic pig.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
On average, average, its orgasm lasts 30 minutes. Suspension of disbelief.
The next morning, Isaac does confront Charlie, and now there's no more lying. Isaac says, look, I know you're a registered sex offender. You're not even a real producer. You're just a sex offender chicken. And Charlie's claiming that he's out. Nora and him are going to get married. And Charlie says Isaac is boring, which is the only unforgivable sin. And he hits him over the head with a giant rock.
What the fuck?
And then he drugs him.
And it doesn't quite go according to plan, though, does it?
Oh, no. Because Carl is a bad chicken.
He's just a stupid chicken.
Or stupid chicken, really, yeah.
He's a very stupid chicken.
Yeah, because he put the peyote in everyone's water.
Yep.
Yes. He was supposed to only put it in Isaac's so that Isaac would be out of his mind. And Carl's like, I did put it in the water that he's drinking, but it was in the big jug. So everybody starts tripping on peyote in the desert at roughly the same time.
And that's a big ol' whoopsie!
Carl, did you put that whole vial of peyote extract in here?
Yeah, the whole thing. I put the whole thing in the big jug of water.
What are you talking about? What big jug of water?
The one on the table at our campsite.
No, I told you to put it in Isaac's water bottle.
Yeah, but that's where you fill it up with the big jug.
Oh, you're kidding, right? The peyote was just for Isaac's dipshit.
This is also a scene where a lot of truth that we've already sort of referenced comes out. This is where you find out that Isaac, while he's tripping, he has been cheating on Nora. Charlie is taking photos of presumably underage girls for money. Carl
just has a crush on Nora's panties.
Right, a lot of panties.
Oh, a lot of
he
panties.
He collects them. All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caesar is getting whipped by a dominatrix.
I think this is the part where they thought they were starting to make a spaghetti western, but it's really just more of like a 90s feeling desert crime sex thing, which there were a lot of back then.
Sure.
And I feel like it actually, they could have had something here if they had leaned into it harder. Because, like, if you're going to play it straight, then really play it straight. You know, like, the second or the last, like, maybe third of the movie is more kind of like the tone shifts a little bit and it's a little more serious. The beginning is like the music is wacky. It's real goofy sounding. There's a lot of panty sniffing. And so I just felt like they needed to lean into the, you know, like, make it serious.
Hey, real quick, I did just accidentally read that alligators have a permanently erect penis.
Oh, boy.
And it's connected to a bungee cord.
Hmm. What?
Back to you, bad chicken.
So that means alligator sex sounds kind of like a...
Suspension of Dick's belief.
Ugh!
I guess if there was ever an episode to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean.
This would be
I'm
it.
Sorry, there's a video on here too I'm not going to watch on National Geographic.
We'll put it on our site.
You can check out, I'll put the link in the episode thing. The alligator has a permanently erect penis, bungee penis video. So you can check that out.
Oh boy. That's a perfect double feature with Bad Chicken.
Yeah.
So once now we found out, all the truth comes out, the, Nora's cheating on Isaac.
Everybody's terrible.
Everybody is pretty much terrible. The doctor's fine.
Yeah, the doctor's fine, yeah.
He doesn't really do much. We hear Nora singing a song for some reason.
Sex song, but like,
yeah, I need you inside me. It's all about.
And slow, like a ballad.
I need you inside me. I need you inside me.
Wait, say that a few more times, Mike.
Deep inside me. I need you deep inside me. I just love that song. It's
10
so
hours.
Beautiful.
10
it
hours.
It makes me cry. It just makes me cry.
Nice.
You know, I was gonna. This scene doesn't really add that much, so I was gonna skip over it. But now I'm glad I didn't. Isaac finds Nora in the desert, and they're both still tripping on peyote.
Yes.
I guess this is sort of the climax between the characters, you know, or at least their interactions together.
And it's as long as a pig's climax.
30 minutes up to 90.
Nora's talking about how she feels chosen. She's just going off in a really crappy way about people and why they watch TV. And Charlie is hoping that she has the gun and is going to shoot Isaac.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about the gun that Charlie gave her.
Mm-hmm. Was it pre-coital?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Okay. She doesn't do it. She can't bring herself to kill Isaac. And the camera pans down, and instead of the gun, she has the ashes of Kardashian the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And she screams, "My cat is dead, and nobody even cares."
Shut up! Everybody just shut the hell up for once! My cat is dead, and nobody even cares!
That's cares with a K, just like Kardashian. She pours it out and pieces out.
And then the other chickens, the other bad chickens are like, "Yeah, Charlie's fucked. Let's get out of here. Yeah. We're leave him." So they leave. The three of them leave.
It doesn't go well for Isaac. So Isaac, so I assume like Isaac and Charlie are both super like tripping balls still. So Isaac is able to sharpen a stick with a knife that he is probably hallucinating. And he hunts Charlie. And I mean, it's a different stick like every time, so I don't know. Uh-huh. They didn't have anyone working.
Showing the passage of time, Chris. He has sharpened many sticks.
Yes, he's sharpened a lot of sticks. And Charlie gives some weird kind of bullshit thing about how humans are stupid and blah blah blah. But Charlie's got the gun, and eventually he throws a rock at him or something and then shoots him after a big speech.
I mean, we already saw this at the opening.
It's just right. The beginning, except you have a lot more context now.
I will say, thank the gods that this wasn't linear, because at least the way that they did it broke it up more, so that you're going, you know, you're in the desert and then you're back in LA and then you're in the desert and then there's flashbacks and then you're in the interrogation room. If they had done it linear, oh my God.
So you're telling me you're not down for the bad chicken linear cut?
I'll pass on that.
No, I like how they put it together. Like, I like how it jumped around and they were still able to put the story together, sort of narrated by the interrogation scene.
Yes.
It worked well.
Eagle screech!
Charlie is in a cell. Because this whole thing is a confession, the whole movie. It's not like he's trying to deny it.
But you knew that it would come to an end.
For people like me, the end is not something to fear. The end is relief.
And the only thing he wants is the death penalty. And he wants it to be televised, or he asks if it'll be televised. So then we get Charlie in the cell. And for some reason, he gets a visitor. But that's okay, because it's a movie with chickens.
Oh, what's this visitor's name? I forgot what her name was.
Candy Love.
Candy Love? That's a great name.
It's Nora's new BDSM porn star persona.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget what you've done for me, Charlie.
The other chickens, Caesar and Carl, have not really cleaned up that much. Caesar is her manager. Mm-hmm. And Charlie finds this move to be brilliant. And Nora is happy.
Well, why?
Because she's finally a star. And Chris, what's Charlie's feeling on that?
It pretty much sums up my feelings on this movie.
Well, fuck me.
Rating time.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to have a very, very vastly different rating here. So I can feel Paul's hatred for this. So I'm going to start with Paul. We're going to rate this 1 to 100 piece chicken dinner.
piece chicken dinner.
Yeah, like, do you want a 10 piece chicken dinner? Do you want a, you know?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or you can go 1-100 jerked off chickens if you
want. I don't know.
Okay. I might. I'll recommend cloacal kisses.
That's what I wanted to do.
Also acceptable.
Okay. This just did not work for me at all. This is what I refer to as a big swing and a miss. It's just not my brand of comedy whatsoever. 20 cloacal kisses.
Wow.
Okay. Michael?
Well, I'm on Paul's side. I surprisingly didn't really appreciate this movie very much. Swings and misses from the filmmakers. You know, hey, you did a lot of stuff. It's cool. It's a bit angsty for my tastes. A little edgelordy of sorts. Boring. But it's not awful. I mean, that's just what it is. So I'm going to give it just on the side of bad. I'm going to give it 49 cloacal kisses.
Okay. Chris?
I love Meet the Feebles, so I'm down for a raunchy puppet movie anytime, really. And really, the only thing this movie has going for it are the chicken puppets. So I'm going to give it an extra 20 points for that. The songs are nice, so I'll give it another 5. 2 points for the dildo lightsaber scene. And there are eagle screeches, so one more for that. So I'm gonna deviate from the rating scale for a bit, and I'm going to go with 33 eagle screeches.
Okay. We've used that one before. This is going to be a fun graphic.
Yeah, totally didn't work for me.
What about you, Jay?
I am okay with this, but I am on an island by myself here. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. I hear your words, but I don't identify with them. I really don't. I appreciate that the cast committed to this ridiculous premise, and I don't know, we maybe touched on it, but the acting is not bad. These are not bad actors at all. And they had to emote and do these scenes with chicken puppets, probably with the ridiculous voices on set. And they did a great job. They all did. To me, and I don't know what made me think about this, but the movie kind of reminded me of U-Turn from Oliver Stone.
Yes. That's what I was alluding to earlier.
Okay. It's in the desert. It's very stylistic. And
a little trippy in spots.
It is seedy. In U-Turn also, there's more characters in U-Turn, but out of the main characters, none of them are really good people. And the same goes here.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There you have shades of bad to really bad.
Yeah.
But I love U-Turn. So I like how the editing jumps around. I like how the story was jumps around. I think the movie, for presumably a low budget, was very well made. I think it's completely insane what the premise is, what the movie tries to be and tries to do. It tries to say something. Okay. Whether or not you think it succeeds, it tries to put some philosophy out.
Yeah. Yeah.
In
yeah.
the movie itself.
Can't argue with that. Yeah, it's true.
You, and I guess I should have asked you guys this, and feel free to answer, but like, very quickly, like, you see the chickens early in the movie, and you're like, haha, they're chickens. But toward the end, when things get more serious, you don't forget they're chickens, but you also just accept it. Like, at no point in time was I taken out of the movie because I'm like, these are chicken puppets.
Yeah.
So, it's just, that's what they are. The movie creates this insane world where it's okay that these chicken puppets exist and nobody cares. So I think it's a unique movie. I think it was well made. It's a combination of serious stuff and comedy, which, of course, comedy varies for everybody. I personally did not find it boring at all. I was not bored one bit at any point in time, and I've watched it twice. So You know, like I said, I'm on an island, but you're going to laugh, but I'm giving it 90.
Wow.
I love this movie.
Wow.
I absolutely love this movie.
And that's fair. Jay, I sensed when you announced this last time, you were so excited about it. And I knew you were excited about it. And I felt morally bad giving it, like disliking it as much as I did, knowing you liked it so much. I was like, I don't want to shit on it. Jay likes it.
Yeah. I wanted to like this movie so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, I'm not like offended. I didn't make it or anything. But yeah, I just think it's very quirky. There's not much else like it other than you could say Feebles because of the morally corrupt puppets. It's just very different, and it pulled off different effectively, I thought.
And we always like to say to, independent filmmakers, great job for finishing the movie. And Carter made 3 in his time, so you gotta respect that. Oh God, we can't end on that.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
All right, Mike, I think we've laid enough eggs. What do you got?
Inspired by a true story. In a high-stakes dramatic thriller about a successful couple who house and care for a pregnant woman during the final months of her pregnancy with the hopes of adopting her unborn child. Boys, we're getting drama for once in this movie.
Mm.
We're getting an unrelenting dramatic performance. This movie aired on June 20th, 2015 on the Lifetime Network.
Oh boy.
We're going to watch A Deadly Adoption starring Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig.
Oh, my God.
It is. I have seen it multiple times. There is not a wink to the camera. It is so fucking straight and serious. It is a thing.
Yeah.
You could watch it on Tubi. It's there. And I recommend just getting some popcorn and loving that Lifetime feeling, man. Directed by Rachel Lee Goldenberg, who just put out Unpregnant, which I can't recommend enough. But this movie, man, get ready for some Lifetime action.
Jay, do you remember when we live tweeted this when it was premiering?
You know we're going to go back and read what we wrote.
I love this. Oh, I can't wait.
I have never seen this movie.
What I think will be nice, though, is it's summertime right now, and we're going out to the lake here. We're going to the lake house, guys. We're going to have a nice summertime while we learn about...
Deadly adoptions.
Yeah, a deadly adoption.
And hey, folks, on your way out to the lake house with us, don't forget to pop onto your phone and give us a good rating. You could give us all of you could give us a high rating, or you guys could give us a variety of ratings, much like we had today, a variety. But give us an honest rating. Give us the stars, and we'll really appreciate it. Also, you could feel free to leave us a written review. We love to read those to ourselves at night to make us feel better. We post them on our wall. Chris puts his hand. Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, we got follow us on social media.
We also have stores where we sell things.
Store.bmoviemania.com.
We have puppets of Mike and Paul. We have puppets of all of us.
We do have lightsaber dildos, though.
No, just go to store.bmoviemania.com. You can get shirts or masks or...
pillows. We have pillows. Bags,
pillows. Yeah, the pillows are cool. Stickers.
I really want us to work on a Snuggie, but that's not there yet.
And also, don't forget to go into the under our website at bigmoviemania.com. In here, sometimes we put extra things like photos and stuff like that. But this week, we're going to have that link to a video of an alligator penis that apparently is like a bungee cord. So,
boing, 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 boing.
Take me away someday.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania.
You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Sea Slug amputates its disposable penis, but has two spares. You know anything about that, Paul? Suspension of disbelief.